It's late.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, your boy 3K here for another episode. Episode 34, season 10, Tertial Radio. It's your boy at 3K underscore here with Robbo at Seattle Rams underscore NFL. What's up, big Rob?
7-0, bitches.
That's 7-0, first time since 1985. And Joey at LA Rams on your Twitter dial. What's up, big Joe? Joey's still on mute.
What's up, Joey? Augie wants to say hello to the listeners.
I think you have to activate your microphone through the incoming port and not the outgoing port for your audio to remain balanced across both channels.
Did you reboot, Dad? That always helps.
Oh, we'll pick it up. Big Rob, how'd your weekend go, man?
It was good. It was good. I was going to tell Joey about my movie going experience because he mentioned this a couple of episodes back. I went and saw First Man.
Okay.
Better than that, it was a pretty chill weekend. I took another vacation day because we're having beautiful weather in Seattle. I went hiking and because I know one day soon it's going to be snowing. I won't be hiking no more. I'll be sad. So that's what I did.
I took
vacation, went hiking, went to the movies. Watch Ram football. It's all good.
That's a very good weekend. Mine was much less productive, I guess you would say.
You had fam in town, in-law fam.
We had in-laws in town, so I had to do the in-law thing. I like my in-laws. I like my family, but
you know,
it's one of those things.
You were drinking Malibus and Cokes. You were drinking back to 86.
Those Bucos. I was serving up the Bucos was what we were calling them. it's one of those things where, you know, you get the age difference. You remember a time when people used to drink Malibu, and I know you said your wife drinks, but I haven't bought a bottle of Malibu since Bill Clinton was president, and which means I'm old. But it's one of those things where it's like, ugh, takes me back.
Bill Clinton.
I know.
You think he serving Malibus to Monaco to like seduce
Bill
her
Clinton?
No,
that's right. Give me a bottle of Malibu.
Monica, give me a light and a Malibu, please.
Yeah, the little RC colas. I did the family thing. It was a Texas family weekend. We had a good time, and it was very unproductive. I did have to do some bad customer. There's one of these things that there's nothing that ruins an experience like bad customer service. You can have a great product, you can have a great environment, and you get bad customer service. Here's what confuses me about bad customer service: when I get asked questions after like ordering something, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, here's what I would like. I would like X. Well, would you like Y? What? No, I wanted X. You guys sell X, right? Well, yeah, we have that, but we also have this. I don't, what? No, I want the X for the price that's here. Okay. Well, if you want Y, we can do that with the X. No, stop. Here's the money. I'm going to give you guys money. This is the money that you say it costs to get X. I just want that. Okay, if that's what you think, I mean, give us a minute. What the fuck? What?
Was this at a casual family restaurant, or was it somewhere better?
It was not better, and it's not bad. It's not. It was at a deli style place, and we were all ordering, you know, breakfast type food. And it was just hard, and there were questions. And there were questions that it was like, wait. So my daughter wanted a bagel with salmon and cream cheese. That's all she wanted on her bagel. So I wanted it with salmon and cream cheese. Well, what kind of that salmon you want, that guy? And I was like, I don't care. Just smoked salmon. Which you want, that smoked salmon, the Novolox, or the Eastern side? I don't – whatever. I really don't.
You're like in Frisco, right? You're outside of Dallas. You're in the Dallas suburbs.
Just put the salmon.
What do you mean? What kind of salmon do? You going to offer me some coho, or do I get some steelhead, or I mean, Copper River?
You want that? You want that Malibu and Coke with that bagel? No, I don't want a Malibu and Coke with my bagel. What's wrong with you people? I kicked Joey off. We'll see if he can get back in here. We'll probably just edit this whole damn portion out. But yeah, other than that, I did the State Fair. State Fair of Texas finally ended this weekend. A good time was had.
It's still going
on?
Is it like a month thing?
It's finished. Yesterday was the last day. So good time. It was just packed because number one, the weather, it had rained the last 4 weekends. And because this was the last weekend, you had last weekend traffic plus good weather traffic plus Southern was playing. Who did Southern play? I think like Prairie or something. So you had half the Cotton Bowl filled up. So it was quite packed, but we had a good time. It was in Georgia.
So I need to ask, with the in-laws in town, are they adventurous eaters like your family, or are they don't touch animal bundle?
So my mother-in-law is. She is Mexican by birth, by ethnicity, and by interest. And she grew up in a quite impoverished family in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, kind of outside El Paso. So she grew up eating, you know, Mexican-style adventurous foods. Whereas I grew up eating Louisiana-style adventurous foods, and they're very similar. So there's a lot of crossover. So a lot of times we'll eat some of the adventurous things because it reminds us of the stuff. I saw somebody was talking about brains the other day in our Slack channel, and I grew up eating calf brains. She grew up eating calf brains. So it's one of those kind of things
that
we can do.
That was the deep-fried squirrel brain, right?
Deep-fried squirrel, yeah.
Yeah, you crack the melon open and eat it out like you would a scene from Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom.
I'm not against it. I'd give it a shot. Would you go for the squirrel brain?
Fuck no, I'm not eating squirrel brain. They shave the squirrel's head down so they get all the fur out. Then they deep fry that sucker. Then they crack the melon open and eat it with this. No.
No?
I'll do adventure food, but that's more adventure than my I can take. I'm not doing the squirrel brain.
What's an adventurous food that you would get into
I've had brain. I've had tongue. I mean, grew up in L.A. with little taquerias. I'll eat all that stuff. I mean, you put that thing on a tortilla and some salsa, and it's all good.
Delicious.
So that's kind of stuff I'll do. I mean, I'll do awful if it's if I'm an adventurous. I'll do some of that, but hearts and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be cracking a skull open and eating brain out though. That's a little too much adventure for my taste.
I'll crack a skull. Have you ever done any of the insect tacos, any of the grasshoppers or the crickets or anything like that?
No, but here in Seattle, they started 2 years ago with the deep-fried grasshoppers with the little chili lime powder on it. It was like all the rave for a year. They sell them for the first couple innings only. They only make a certain amount.
Oh, the baseball game.
Don't want them to go to waste. Yeah, baseball game. You just walk up. And,
oh, wow.
Edgar's Cantina, you just walk out there in outfield and order yourself some grasshoppers. And they're just crunchy little – Yeah, they're just a little crunchy, salty, chili pepper, chili lime kind of flavor thing. They're pretty tasty.
Did you try it?
You
know, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, I'll do them. It's not my favorite snack, but I'm not going to shy away from it. I'll try something. I'll try most things once. If I don't like it, I'm out. But yeah, the deep fried squirrel brain, I'm already out on that one.
Well, you can only do so much. Let's try if we're going to try stuff. Let's try getting Joey on this podcast. Joey O'Coin, are you there?
Don't even try it. It's dead.
Hey, Joey.
Hey jerks.
We were talking about insects. Let's go back to movies. Robbo watched First Man this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw First Man this weekend, and I liked it. I liked the tack they took with it. You know, it's the story that we all kind of know, but they really did the human side and how it affected Neil Armstrong's family. And
no spoilers. I haven't seen it. I want to see if they get to the moon. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that one ends out.
They shoot for it. They do shoot for the moon.
Was it American enough for you, Rob?
Was it what?
Was it American enough for you?
It was plenty of America for me. It was America. It was good. There were some parts where I thought, maybe it's pretty scripted and very Hollywood, but I think it'll do well, and I think it'll do well in award times. They're just lacked a little
bit. The controversy, right?
What's that?
Are you familiar with the controversy?
The controversy on this film?
Yeah, the lack of the flag.
No. I did not hear the controversy.
They didn't plant the flag. Why didn't they show him planting the flag? Why does Damien Chazelle hate America?
They show the flag. They just don't show him planting the flag.
Did they show him with the tattoo of the United States flag on his right butt cheek? No. You know why?
Not.
He hates America.
He hates America.
Okay.
When they launch from the lunar surface to go back up to the orbiter and then go back home, there's a scene and you see it taken off and the flag is there. They don't go out of the way to do the whole flag planting ceremony. It's at the end of the movie. It's kind of like, just get this over with. They did the one stop, small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And then you're good. I don't know. I thought it was all right. It wasn't the greatest film. I think a lot of people will love it. I was expecting a little more from it. So we'll see. I'm interested in the jerk's take later on, what we got.
Yeah. I watched, my wife is into scary movies. I watched a movie called Truth or Dare, which was apparently a movie made in 2017. It was very good because I got to come up with the scale. And I think we've talked about this before. On the scale of things that are good and bad, there's a threshold when you go from good towards bad that once it crosses the threshold, it becomes good again. So this was the whole conceit of what Sharknado exploited, of being so bad that it was good. And that's what this movie kind of was.
That's
it
a
was
genre.
Really,
it's
really
so
bad.
Bad.
It was so bad that it was actually kind of good. I really enjoyed it. It didn't make any damn sense, which I appreciated, and they never had to explain it, which I really appreciated. But the idea was these six, I guess, high schoolers, or students, I don't even know, go to this house where it's like haunted by Truth or Dare, the game, and you have to always do the, there was never any truth. It was just
there's
doing
no truth
dares.
Or something there.
Yeah, there was no truth. They just keep doing dares, and the dares were like, your own face. And it was like, oh, nice. And then they had to cut off their face and cut stuff and burn stuff. And it was great. And I thought everybody had a great time. Really bad movie. Really good movie.
We used to do a thing called It's So Bad It's Good every Saturday. They'd have like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing kind of here.
Yeah, those are great.
Just like a local PBS type station. They'd play some crap movie. We'd have a few friends who always came over. We did like Saturday dinner when we were young. We all had kids together. The kids would be off torturing each other in the bedroom, whatever, playing Barbies and whatever. And so we'd all hang out and we'd eat and be making fun of like, and the fun part was the running commentary while the movie was going. It's like, oh, did you see this or that? Whatever. That was the fun stuff.
I love horrible movies. I watched a pretty horrible movie this weekend. It was the Rams playing against the 49ers. Horrible, not because it wasn't enjoyable, but because it wasn't very close. And it wasn't close as soon as things kicked off. The Rams with a dominant win throughout, albeit sloppy early on, winning 39-10. I get to the specifics. Jared Goff didn't have a spectacular game, but he went 18-24. He tried to throw an interception early on. He kind of failed at that somehow. I'm not sure how that didn't happen. But otherwise, 18-24 for 202. Two touchdowns. Todd Gurley with another two touchdown day on the ground. Backup Malcolm Brown got plenty of times. Both of them under 70 yards. But were able to have a pretty effective game because they were averaging large chunks pretty much throughout the game. Quiet game from the receiving crew of Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, no Cooper Kupp. Nick Williams came on and had some good moments for somebody who had just joined the team. But the real story of the day was the defense, the special teams. Corey Littleton was fantastic in both aspects. Aaron Donaldson finished with four evil metrics. And overall, it was just the defense clamping down on things, making it really, really ugly to watch overall. General thoughts on the game, Robbo?
I think you summed that up beautifully. Overall, generally an ugly game, but for the most part, it was kind of enjoyable from the Rams fan perspective because, as we talked, you and I talked last week on the preview show, I just never worried about them losing this game. I'm not believing it. And while George Kittle did provide a few moments of what the hell are you doing? It's not a secret that they've struggled to tight end. So it's like, all right, they'll get this figured out and whatever. And, I even think, who was their lead back who kept getting hurt? Matt Breida. I thought his speed was evident early, but he got hurt on the second carry or whatever. And he came back in and, maybe it could have been a little closer if he was out there. And, it wasn't Alfred Morris and Rasheem Mostert. Injuries happen and whatever. It just didn't really ever feel close. And then it was nice to see the defense as a whole step up and have a pretty darn good game. Troy Hill played pretty well. That Michael Brockers had one of his better games in a while.
Yep.
Donald again was good. Littleton was everywhere. Samson Ebicom, you know, impacted the game early in first series, second series. He had that forced fumble, strip sack. So I thought it was nice to see just a variety of guys have a pretty good game. John Johnson played really well. So
sure did.
I was pretty happy with what they did. And they came out healthy, which is the most important thing in my eyes leading into this week.
Yep, no real injuries concerns. We had 7 of the evil sacks, 4 turnovers. 49ers were 3 of 11 on third down and 0 for 1 on that one fourth down. It was pretty dominant throughout. What was strange was it could have been much, much worse. The game was only 22-7 at halftime, but it was because that first quarter, which was the Rams' worst quarter of the game, they led 3-0 after one because they shot themselves in the foot on 3 successive drives. You had the fumble on the snap from Goff on third down from the first drive. You had a drop from Todd Gurley on the second drive, and then you had that near interception, should have been interception from Goff on the third, were it not for those. And assuming those drives had continued, you know, deep into 49ers territory and into the end zone, they could have had, you know, another, 17 points? And it just would have been ugly, and it was ugly throughout.
It just gets back to, you know, I think I've complained about this every week, their red zone efficiency. You know, they get down near that 20, and then they just they don't punch it in. I think I looked up earlier today, they're like around 12th or 13th in the league right now. 56% scoring touchdowns. The good news, I keep saying it, the good news is they have room to improve. They haven't peaked. They still have room to get better.
The weird thing is, like, when you look at it, a lot of it is just like the play to Todd Gurley. It's not that it was, you know, it's so kind of random. It wasn't a play call issue. It's just, when has Todd Gurley dropped the pass like that? I can't remember the last time he did.
Yeah. I actually was thinking that during the game. I'm like, wow, that was surprising because you just haven't seen it. He's been so good in that role. And I think he was, if you watched the camera of him going off the field, he was kind of ticked at himself. He's like, yeah, I booted that one. They had room to get better.
Yeah, and it's not a play call issue. It wasn't even an execution issue. It was just because you think about Gurley, he never does that. It was just fluky. Joey, what do you think about the game? General thoughts. Oh, did we lose Joey? Oh, wait a second. I got the wrong Joey. New Joey. New Joey.
Yes.
What do you think about
it? This is Augie. Hello.
Hey, Augie. You sound great.
Hey, overall efficiency was up 14.5%, so I thought that was great, but I'm a little concerned about the efficacy when we pull the left guard. Roger Self was athletic, but I don't know that he's got the power to swing when we're coming out of 11 personnel. Am I right, Dad?
You're right, little guy. You're right. Yeah, man. I mean, I got a question for you, Joe. It, you know, I hear the readers of Turf Show Times, they get on you because you're hard on Todd Gurley.
Oh,
no. You call him just Todd Gurley.
Just Todd.
Do you feel that you actually call him just Todd Gurley as a slight?
Oh, no. I call him just Todd Gurley because I think – when was it? I think it was an interview with Jeff Fisher in his rookie year. And for whatever reason, we kept saying just every other sentence. He was just Todd Gurley. He's just going to – or maybe it was Todd himself. He's just going to try to do the best he can. He's just a running back. And, you know, you just got to try to plug ahead and just do the best you can. And as long as he does the best that he can, he's just going to, you know, assume that nothing happened. So it's not a slight at all. It's just more of like a tongue-in-cheek dumb nickname that everybody loves. And everybody calls him that, by the way.
Yeah, I like what you said, that the article today, because, you know, anytime people throw some praise at my boy Jared Goff, I walk a little taller. But talking about how Todd Gurley, his numbers are maybe a little bit lower. I mean, he had a slow start last year, but
sure.
As far as just, you know, him kind of playing, and I guess we'll get to that a little bit later, but it does seem like the way Todd Gurley plays – he's a red zone guy, and he is our answer to Coach McVay's problem about red zone issues, about just pounding the ball into the end zone rather than trying to throw it or, you know, do any fancy jet screens. He's just going old school Todd Gurley, and you know what? It works, and it's working right now, and maybe it won't as people start to scheme the Rams more and more going into the red zone. But You know, as far as the game, I mean, I just was really relieved with the way the defense played. And I know they're going against San Francisco, but that was awesome. And it was – you're not going to get a game like that. It's not like, oh, cool. Like, now Aaron Donald's always going to get 4 sacks. I mean, it was right. It was an anomaly, but it was super fun to watch. And it felt like Corey Littleton's, like, arrival game. I know he's been playing good. And, like, even if you take away right. any of his special teams play, I think if you're really just watching him, and it's not as – his play as inside linebacker, it's not as flashy as, like, him, like, blocking multiple punts in the season. But he's good, man. He's – for an undrafted rookie, he's – or not rookie, undrafted player, he's really good.
Yeah, that kid shows up. That kid shows up. You know, unlike Mark Barron, who had probably the worst attempted – he had the biggest Alec Ogletree moment in the entire game. I think we all kind of like the groan on that.
He's not right. Yes. You know, his Achilles isn't right. I don't think he should be in there.
Oh, man, he went high. He got juked, and it was not good. But that was – I think that was a lone player where I was like, really? Come on now. For the most part, I mean, I mentioned to Joe earlier, you know, George Kittle had a pretty good game against them, and – you know, if they can clean that tight end thing up, they're gonna be pretty good going forward.
Well, that's what we were talking about. After week one, the Rams were like, oh, here we go. Every week they just have a big tight end that's gonna expose us, kill us. And it really right. hasn't happened until this week, right? I can't think of another tight end the past couple of weeks has been that bad.
Well,
sure, I mean,
played.
Yeah, I was going to say we haven't really played any great tight ends. Yeah,
that's coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we'll get into some good ones in the near future. One thing that I thought was interesting from this game was kind of what we had talked about to a degree with Seattle and Denver. But, Rob, we mentioned this in the preview, is that this is just not a good understanding. We talked about the idea of what they're going to do from here. This was the opportunity for the Rams, not necessarily a trap game, but for the Rams to play down to their competition, and they never did throughout. I don't know what that means, but I know there's something valuable about it because the 49ers, there's a personnel issue. The roster's not good. There's a schematic issue, and obviously when you got C.J. Beathard as your quarterback, that's going to happen. But it's one of those things where I don't know – I'm not trying to, you know, put down the Niners or anything, but just in general – I am not worried about this team contending anytime soon that they're stacked up.
Well, their talent is all – their better players are all hurt, right? Richard Sherman is one of the better players. He's hurt.
Sure.
Darrell Flapolo is hurt. Jerick McKinnon's hurt.
They're
the only
always
hurt. Would be George Kittle. But other than that, I mean, none of their defensive guys that they've drafted over the last 3 or 4 years are any good.
Have done
or
that.
Have shown themselves to be – I mean, there is a huge – talent disparity between that team and our team, and I would say even Seattle. I mean, they're a distant third in this division. Not, and it's not close. I mean, they're going to be drafted in top five this year, top six. I mean, they're not good. They're not good.
And we're in a division that probably has the most clearest worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have the Cardinals and Buffalo are fighting to be the worst team. And, you know, to have that kind of doormat in your division and then having a kind of like another doormat in the 49ers and then even the Seahawks. I mean, I wouldn't call them a doormat, but
they're not what they were.
I'm not going to bet on them to make the playoffs. So, you know, that's kind of why I think people are looking at the Rams going, yeah, but I mean, look at their plan.
Sure.
Look at their division.
Sure.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're not going to bet on the Seahawks to make the playoffs? You clearly do not live in this city, my friend, because that's all they're talking about now. After trouncing
a
terrible
right now,
Oakland team, that's their smiles have turned, their frowns have turned upside down. The moral victory against the Rams and the utter domination of a hapless Oakland team has them all smiling here, thinking Super Bowl. It's been
right.
fun.
Okay. Well, good
yeah.
for
It'll be
good
fun to see them come back to Earth, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do some MVP talk in a little bit, and I know that's not relevant for the person I'm going to bring up, but I'm going to ask the question a little bit differently. Is Aaron Donald the best player in the NFL?
The best.
The best. Is he the
best
single player in the NFL?
Defensive player?
Player. Best player overall. If he's not, tell me who's a better player in the NFL.
Well, I guess my question real quick to just jump right in front of you, just to clarify this, Rob, is that it seems like when people say like football player, they instantly think quarterback because it's, you know, arguably the hardest position. So it's to not select a skill player like a quarterback or a wide receiver or running back, I think sometimes goes out of people's depth of knowledge because they're thinking, well, yeah, I don't even know exactly what a defensive end is really going to do. Yeah, you can, you know, talk about splash plays and stuff like that, but just each play, exactly what they're doing, you can kind of see what a quarterback's doing. So to say that a defensive end or a defensive line players is the best player in the league, you really have to know that position and kind of really get in to like the nitty gritty of it. So it's a hard, it's, I think it's a hard question for most people to answer, honestly.
I mean, you would immediately Tom Brady, right? The guy.
Yeah.
They switched. Sure. They've switched around so many players on that team. He and Gronkowski are pretty much the constants, and he's continually in Super Bowls. So I mean, that's, if you're going to compare him to that guy, I'm going to say no, just based on what they've done. But if you're just talking pure what they do at their position and how damn good they are and the difference between them and the next closest guy, which is maybe how I measure it, you know, who's the next closest guy at his position to Aaron Donald?
Geno Atkins? I don't know.
Atkins, Cox, Fletcher Cox maybe, and they're all really good, but he is so much better. I'm sorry, I could be a homer, but he is light years ahead of everyone else at his position. Where, you know, Brady's clearly, you know, in the conversation as the best quarterback, but you've got Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and they're all pretty damn close. I just think he is so much better than the second guy. It's like he's a position by himself. He's too good. He was in the top 200 or 100 this year. What was he ranked, you know, as a defensive tackle? Third or fourth? Second?
Right.
What was he this last year? I mean,
in the NFL top 100? Like,
yeah.
The NFL network, you mean?
Yeah, when they do that thing. He was way up there, like, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was like top 10 for sure.
I think it was like top 5. But, I mean, that's with AB and...
He was 7th and Gurley was 6th.
Was he 7th? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to have that kind of a D-tackle put in that conversation, that's saying something.
He was the one of two defenders. He and Von Miller at 9 were the only defenders in the top 100. And by the way, you guys will never get a job for cable sports. I asked you a simple yes, no, and you guys tried to provide intelligent context. That's not how this works. Stephen A. Smith knows. Craig Zerline return. Jeezy, Megatron.
Did you just say back. Stephen A. Smith?
Of course,
I was about
man.
To go on some crazy Stephen A. Smith rant here, but I'll dial
well,
that back.
That's how they do that. That's how they frame things in these binary ways. Is Aaron Donald the best player? Aaron Donald is the best player. You know how Stephen A. Smith does it.
When you look at Aaron Donald. Man, that guy's the worst.
Don't even talk to me. Don't even talk to me about Aaron Donald. I don't want to hear it.
Don't you disrespect my opinion on Aaron Donald being the best player in the league. Yeah. Just going, spitting, spittle, flying everywhere. It's funny you say Stephen A. Smith because I had done a little Stephen A. Smith. I tweeted something out, and then someone sent me a message saying, "Hey, you remember this take?" And he was basically trashing the Rams, and I'm like, "Ah, you know what? I'm gonna give him." It was early in the offseason. I'll give him benefit of doubt. Or it was the McVay hire. You know, his child gets hired. He's this. He's that. He's no good. And da da da. And then I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure I don't watch ESPN, but I'm sure he's, you know, made amends and apologized for being wrong." And then someone sends me something from, they had just signed Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. They just made those moves. And he's like, "Yeah, they're not the best. They're not the best team in the NFC. What are you guys talking about? It's the Eagles and it's the Saints. And yeah, they're still a distant third. Jared Goff is going to be terrible. He's overrated. It was a fluke year." And he's just doing this full thing. And I'm thinking, that's why I don't watch ESPN. That's exactly why. Because it's just bad takes after bad takes.
It's a format, and it works, just not for us. Like I said, Greg Zerline's bag. That works for me. What do you guys think about Legatron?
Joey, what do you think about Legatron?
I think he puts my heart at ease, man. I was I really just hated watching these backup kickers go in there. It just
tough.
Scared the shit out of me. It was just – it was too stress-inducing, man. I mean, like, we're winning these games, but still you have these moments where you just have – Sam Ficken just going out there and just shanking 35-yard kicks. I mean, it's a bad year for kickers. Last year was a bad year for kickers.
It
felt like as
it's
well.
A really
Justin
bad
Tucker.
Year for kickers. Justin Tucker misses a game-winning or game-tying extra point. right?
Yeah.
And you had the
yeah.
Cowboys when they had that weird penalty from their long snapper, which I thought was kind of bullshit for a guy that's done that every long snap of his very, very, very long career. It like imagine Jake McQuaid getting called for a penalty for long snapping the way he's always long snapped and never gotten a penalty. Very strange. Backs him up five yeah. yards and kicker yeah. clings it off the upright.
A couple weeks ago,
kickers.
Mason Crosby, who's been money his almost his entire career, he's shank.
I don't know what's going on. Any ideas, any theories? Joey, you're good at this kind of psychoanalysis. What's the theory? What's going on with the kickers this year? Are they? Is it the midterms? Is it the lunar cycle? Are we out of phase with the dawning of the age of Aquarius? What's going on with the kickers?
It sounds like something Augie should tackle.
Yeah, I'll wake him up. We'll bring him in here. He's wearing his little...
It's the tides, Dad. They changed tides. The tidal basin switched its pressure levels.
Most of these kickers are actually Leos.
They put a new rule in where they had to have a shorter stud on their plant foot, which means they're slipping and causing the angle to...
Yeah.
Kind of pathetic that I have to explain magnetic field to you guys. I'm just saying.
So now he's going to go... Go back to bed with his elephant levy. yeah, Devin, man, who knows?
Having Jeezy back has been great. Wasn't it like a sense of calm just watching the game yesterday? Yeah. I'm not worried about him fucking this up. Sorry, yeah. I should censor that. Screwing this up.
It's funny. We're no longer a clean podcast.
We are no longer a clean podcast.
We have excellent kicker. We have an excellent punter, and we're scoring so much that
Do we have an excellent punter still?
Oh, did we lose Johnny Hecker?
I'm not going to blame him for the block. Does it feel like Johnny Hecker is not Johnny Hecker? And is it because he has a lack of practice?
Here's my question. Maybe that's the issue. Is Hecker having his Greg Zuerlein? What year was it? 2015. Remember, Greg Zuerlein had that one bad year.
Oh, yeah.
He had that one bad year where it just wasn't. And remember, we brought in Taylor Bertolet the next training camp because some people wanted a real competition, and yeah, Greg Zuerlein had his one bad year. This kind of feels like Hecker's bad year, right?
Johnny Hecker still pissed at me for that year because I rode Jeezy pretty hard, and he called me out Monday Night Football. No, he wasn't. It was like a Monday Night Football game, and someone shanked one to the like wide right, and I'm that's a Zuerlein special, and he's like, not cool, man. He said, send me a DM, and I'm no longer followed by Johnny Hecker.
No, there you go. That was it.
He was not happy.
Ended that relationship.
But it's the truth. I mean, it's just how it is. And he had a 50-yarder yesterday, which is more Hecker-ish. Yeah. But he just hasn't been Johnny Hecker. I don't know. Hasn't been Johnny Hecker. Johnny. We need the foot.
What we did get was little Nicky. I like little Nicky. Nick Williams, our new slot receiver in there. Funking it up with all signaling for a first down before he's even tackled and all 5'3" of him just out there gumming up the works. What do you guys think about little Nicky?
He is little Nicky.
I think if I take my glasses off, it's Cooper Kupp out there.
No, right. Hey, whoa, you take them words back, sir.
Cooper Kupp's little brother.
I really thought that they were gonna put Robert Woods in the slot, and but they were they had other plans. And I was cool with it. I mean, I thought he had some good plays, and I thought he brought some electricity to the offense. So yeah. I mean, it seems like they're talking about Cooper Kupp possibly coming back next week versus Green Bay. But let's just say he doesn't come back, and he has another week out, or another 2 weeks out. I think this guy's fine. It's a different. I thought they were gonna maybe extend the offense to the tight ends, try to get some more looks to Tyler Higbee and Young Gerald, but that it was the status quo with those dudes. So I mean,
well,
really, just felt
your,
like
your
it
boy,
was more...
your boy missed a tight end wide open in the end zone. Right?
He's not my boy.
No, your
He's
boy
not my son.
Jared Goff.
Oh, right.
Right?
I thought Higbee, you had
Higbee going to the corner. He sailed one on Higbee bad. He was open. He was okay. 18-24. It's not like he missed many, but he did miss that one. That should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, that's going to add some tension to Guacamole Night when they're all hanging out.
Jared,
Higbee turns like, yo, Jared. It's like,
I was open, bro. I don't get the looks I used to get, and you just left me hanging, bro. I even put my flip flops by the door, like, yes. And I brought I brought the cheese dip just like I always have, and you got to look my way one more.
It, it just seems like the only time we have a good rhythm is when we play Dance Dance Revolution.
Do you feel – this is a question for you boys. Do you feel a difference in the offense without Cup in it right now? Does it feel – I mean, it's still pretty good. Does it feel like it's humming like it was?
Well, it's really small,
it's a small sample size.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Wow, well done.
Jinx.
Hype mind.
Well, I'm even discounting last like 2 weeks ago in Denver because it was cold, and you know I'm just throwing that entire game out. Like it was a girly game anyway. It's 20 whatever. But
right.
Yesterday, just the passing game was 18-24, 202. They really didn't need it because all the defensive, you know, the defense carried the day for them. They didn't really
and
have
returns,
to
man. Field position.
Yeah,
JoJo. We started every damn drive at like the 40 on their side of the field.
Yeah. It's crazy that Robert Woods only had 5 receptions, and it felt like he had 10 or 12. It just felt like constantly. It was like, Robert Woods, Robert Woods. But it just, again, you know, it was only 18 completions, and, you know, 5 of them went to Woods. But, you know, it was really just Woods and Cooks, and, you know, then some to Gurley, but and 2 to Nick Williams. But –
and the big one
it did feel a little bit different. It felt a little slight. It was interesting that they scored 39 points, but it wasn't like this air attack or anything like that. You know, it felt like they moved the ball and they got Gurley to punch it in, which, you know, we've done a couple times this season. So, you know.
Yeah. Remember back to the Viking game where that thing was just humming. It was like a well-oiled machine and it was inside out.
Yeah.
They're, you know. They were just going every which way but loose. I mean, like, you know, fake jet sweep here, that way, you know, crossing people and linebackers. And, you know, it's working, and they scored 39 points. But I was like, this isn't – I'm missing – you know what it is? Maybe it's because I've been watching Pat Mahomes just tear things up the last couple of weeks. And that kid's been on prime time more than he needs to be.
Right.
Not that he needs to be, but, you know, he's getting all the love, and they're getting all the love. Deservedly so. He's playing out of his mind. Just after watching that Vikings game, I thought, all right, here we go. We're going to take off. And then we just, you know, we're winning. We're winning comfortable, and that, all you want to do is win. But just I'm going to wait for this thing to just explode like that team does. They're fun to watch. But, yeah, you know, I just remember for maybe it was the lack of the Cup and the Cup consistency and what he does. And, you know, I'm not going to discount what Robert Woods has done, taking over for him in that spot. But when those three are out there, they're very complimentary to each other, and they all do what they do well, and it just seems – like it's really rolling, and right now it seems like it's stuck in like fourth gear and not getting into fifth.
Well, it felt like a quiet game for Goff. He had no interceptions, but technically, I mean, he didn't have any interceptions. Yeah. But there's that one play where they ruled it incomplete. But it felt like, I don't know. It's still in my heart. I felt like that was an interception just because it felt like, okay, that's we just turned the ball over, and then they turned it back, but.
They just didn't accept
it. He had quiet 2 touchdowns.
We offered them an interception, and they politely declined.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just it kind of felt like it could have been a worse game for Goff, but he kind of narrowly escaped some scrapes, and his stat line looked respectable. But I think when you watch the game, I think if you ask me, hey, what's the score, I wouldn't say it's 39-10. You know,
it felt
like. Yeah, those points kind of quietly started building. You know, it wasn't this sort of like highlight reel where you're just like, oh, man, I'm going to watch SportsCenter and we're going to watch the Rams blow it up, you know? It just felt like they just methodically tore the 49ers apart in the sort of,
They had the punt block. Ball goes out of the end zone for the safety, and so they got, the 2 points there, and then the field goal after. So they got 5 instead of 7 when it really should have been, you know, 7-10 points in theory. They just left. They continually leave points on the field, and yet they're winning by 29 points. So, I mean, this is just getting super nitpicky on my part, and I realize that.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do standout players. Who wants to go first? Yep,
do it,
I got
Rob.
It. I'm going to go with – I gotcha. I'm going to go with Troy Hill. We talked about him in the pregame thing where I said this wasn't the kind of game for a Todd Gurley to stand out, and it wasn't, even though he had his three touchdowns. He didn't have a ton of yards on the ground. He didn't really dominate things. It was more like Joey said, it was the slow burn of just dismantling a team, and it was Todd Gurley who, with his short touchdown runs and obviously that one pass that he took into the end zone, really helped out his fantasy owners. But overall, it was just the defense and special teams. And I thought Troy Hill had a really, really, really good game. Miles had a great write-up. Miles Simmons, team insider for the Rams, had a great write-up on Troy Hill. And, you know, having a bounce-back performance, I thought it was really important for him, having struggled. And as a fan favorite, I'm hoping maybe it can set him right, because we still got a couple more weeks until we get to the bye before we find out if Aqib Talib is able to come back this year. And we're going to need a lot more Troy Hill. So I thought it was really important to get the game that we got from him.
Yep. My guy was Malcolm Brown.
Oh,
Malcolm. After Gurley carries the ball a million times in Denver, 200 yards, the question started arising. You know, are you using too much? You're gonna wear him out. I think McVay even talked about, you know, we need to make sure he's fresh, and we gotta be mindful of that. And he was. He had that almost an entire series until they gave the ball back to Gurley to score the touchdown. But he had 13 carries for 65 yards, 5.0 average. He had a 10 as the longest run. I think he had a reception in there as well. It was nice to see him come in and spell him and not be any drop and give Gurley a little bit of a rest where he doesn't have to carry the ball 30 times a game. He can carry it 13 times or 15 times a game. He still had more carries than Brown, but, you know, they had 15 and 13, and, you know, Brown got some play in there at the end when they were, you know, pulled everyone in the fourth quarter. But he did have a series when the game was still, you know, considered like a game. It was, I don't know if it was close or not, but it was still, you know, in question. And he does well in pass pro. He runs hard. He's more of a downhill runner. He's not going to really run away from you or whatever, but it seems like he's not hesitant. He sets up his blocks, and he hits it up there, and he's usually good for 3 to 6 yards. He just runs hard. I like him. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and I thought this was a good sign because we're going to need more of that. We're going to need him to spell Gurley when we can and keep him fresh for the end of the year in the playoffs.
Who you got, Joe?
Michael Brockers. You know, he didn't technically have any sacks, but it felt like a couple of those sacks that Aaron Donald was credited with, I felt Brockers was right there too, and I felt like he's such a great presence on the defensive line. And, you know, he did have a tackle, 1.5 tackles for a loss, but I feel like he's one of the he's like an underrated guy right now, because everybody's talking about Donald, and then Sue's the next guy they talk about on defensive lines. So I think he kind of gets pushed to the side a little bit when you're giving credit to this defense. And I just feel like he's such an imposing figure, and he's just really kind of being disruptive. And it was just really fun to kind of watch him play, because I think they really, really made C.J. Beathard look nervous, and they really kind of made that pocket a very temporary thing. And, you know, even though, you know, we talk about those splash plays, like, yeah, he didn't have any splash plays, but when you were just watching that game, and I watched it like for the second time, and I just felt like Brockers was always there. Like, he's just constantly just like this force that's just like pushing these guys around. And I feel like they really manhandled that offensive line with the 49ers. And it was I think for a unit of the offensive line, it was the best game of the season by far. I thought they just played great.
I have heard Aaron Donald's football skill set compared to a bear. What animal would you compare Michael Brockers' football skill set to?
That's interesting. I don't, because he's much taller. So, like,
he's much bigger.
Something like almost like a kangaroo or something.
I like it.
I go mythical, more like a minotaur.
Yeah, like minotaur.
Yeah, bigger dude. Because he's a beast.
I was thinking angry mother hippopotamus, but definitely the angry mother, not just any hippopotamus.
Angry,
the angry mother hippopotamus who, you know, when the herd is threatened, just blurred and just like burst through. And
I like it.
Angry mother hippopotamus.
Angry mother hippopotamus, not pretty, not very technical, just brrrr.
Can we go angry mother rhinoceros? A little,
that's a little too like the horn is almost too specific. I don't feel like Brockers has a horn in his game. He's more like a you know how the hippopotamus has those. How do you describe their teeth? What is up with their teeth? You know how it looks like
they're like
the big old.
Yeah, they're like flat surface.
And they have like multiple rows.
And that's Michael Brockers. Multiple rows of flat teeth that don't look like they hurt. But when you get in them, it's like one of those old aluminum can crushers. But that's what it does to your entire body. Just.
Yeah.
Aluminum can crushing teeth. Yeah.
That's old Michael Brockers. Let's go big picture. Here's a fun one. I posted the story today. Joey, you talked about it earlier. Team MVP. I'm trying to get it sent to our fan pulse. I don't want to impact the most important election of our lifetime by voting for this because it definitely is. But if I give you guys these four candidates for MVP, Sean McVay, let's do five. Sean McVay, Aaron Donald.
You can't
Jared
include
Donald.
Sean McVay because he's going to win.
I must. This is the internet and we do what the internet wants. Sean McVay, Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and the offensive line as a unit. Who would you pick for your MVP?
Well, we know who Joe's going to pick.
Yeah, I know who Joe's going to pick, which makes me want to go against him and just to annoy him and get the banter going.
I pick the angry mother hippopotamus. Just if I don't pick her, she's going to get mad. I'm the MVP.
I mean, if you're going to include Sean McVay, I'm going to take Sean McVay because he's been the single biggest difference in this team. But I'm gonna take the coach out of it because I think that's the easy answer. And I'm going to agree with you, this offensive line. They protect Goff, and they pave the way for Todd Gurley to be on the cover of magazines and sports centers and that, all the other stuff that comes with it. But if you watch Roger Saffold, Austin Blythe, I mean, all of them. Sosa, we had guys complaining about John Sullivan in our TST Slack channel last night. I'm thinking, what is there to complain about? I mean, okay, he's not – you've got the two tackles and the two guards getting all the accolades on the Pro Football Focus things, but I don't think Sully's playing bad, so what are we worried about? Let's wait for next year to be next year and the year after whatever. So I'm going to say as a group, I'll take the O-line because I think they make that thing go. I watched a terrible offensive line. I saw Timmy Barnes be god-awful for years. I saw Greg Robinson be awful for years.
Dave and Joseph.
I saw many – yeah, just Harvey Dahl. I mean, just keep going. Go down the list. Just terrible play. I'm gonna go offensive line. I'll take the big boys up front all day because they paved the way.
What you got, Joe?
What do you think I got? I got Jared Goff, my large adult son. I think that he's going to keep getting better during the season. And so far in these seven games, I feel like he has just been really sort of like the backbone of the team. I mean, I think he allows all of the other, I mean, of course the offensive line, I want to give you credit on that one. It's not, I don't want to say that like we shouldn't be giving heaps of praise to the offensive line because I totally agree with you. But as far as just, we're talking about the skill positions of what you naturally would give these MVP awards to, I just feel like Goff deserves it because he, in one way, I think allows Gurley to get these big holes because they have to. I think that play action is just done so well.
Yeah,
and I feel like when he just kind of goes out on those bootlegs and he keeps hitting Robert Woods, I just feel like you could really just bet on it. And he has just this command of this offense right now, and he's still really young, and I still feel like the game's slowing down for him and it's coming to him. So yeah, maybe he shouldn't be like the MVP this year. I mean, that might be a little bit early, but it feels to me by the way he's playing in the next next couple of years, I think he's going to be like for sure like that's our MVP.
Well, he's got a string of four quarterbacks over the next 4 weeks to match, right?
Sure.
He's got four guys that we're going to have direct comparisons to. So let's see what he's got. What do you think, Joe? Are you going to go, well, you're going to go with Goff?
I agree with one of you. I agree with Joey. Sorry,
see,
Robo.
Because you wrote that today.
I wrote it. I said it. It's true.
I read it.
You know I love the offensive line. They're great, and they're doing a great job. Jared Goff has got 2,130 yards through 7 games, man. That's not – I get it. It feels like – especially after a game like this where – like what we were saying, where it doesn't feel like he had a special game, and it's been a couple weeks. The Broncos game, he wasn't particularly sharp. The Vikings game is now almost a month old where it feels like we haven't gotten that performance. But over the course of 7 games, Jared Goff has been really, 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 really good.
He's
going into this weekend,
right?
Yeah, he was leading the league in passing not too long ago. Going into this week, Pro Football Focus ranked him the number 2 quarterback in the entire NFL. He's been really, really good at the most important position. As much as I love the offensive line, and I'd love to give him this kind of award, this isn't the award for them. If we're talking about the most valuable player, we're talking about at the most important position. I got to go with Joey's guy. It's Jerry G.
I saw Sean Mannion yesterday, who was just as effective as Jared Goff. So I think that's directly because the offensive line helped him out. I mean,
your mouth is spewing the garbage.
He had 3 carries for 1 yard yesterday. Goff had 2 for 4. I mean, come on. It's almost
I'm
the
ready
same
for
damn
some,
thing.
I do want some more giraffe mode in life. I love it. We got a note here on Nate Burleson. One of you guys saw this because it wasn't me.
I did.
What did you
see? I do enjoy the Good Morning Football.
No, Joey. No, what? Don't do that. Don't do
why
it yourself.
I feel like now we live in this age where anytime you say something that you like something, there's always someone that's telling you how it's problematic. So I feel like I need to kind of vet things that make me happy in my life now. I'm like, oh, is that okay that I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Is that
peanut butter and jelly is good.
You know, so well, did you read that article? Jelly gives you herpes, or whatever.
My biggest,
go on.
My
mainly
biggest
about the
issue of Good Morning Football.
Now,
is Kyle Brandt.
Forget the Nate Burleson Good Morning Football. I want to hear about this jelly herpes thing.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, when you're having sex with a hooker while eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, I'm not making the connection, but herpes isn't involved. No, I think. Nate Burleson was saying that he thinks that the Rams could go 16-0, and he was possibly being – I don't think he's being hyperbolic. That was just – they were trying to find out what game the Rams were going to lose. Sure. And I saw that again on another show, and a lot of people think, well, there's a good chance they're going to beat the Packers, but maybe the New Orleans or Philadelphia, those could be games that they could lose. But Nate Burleson's like, no, I think they can go 16-0. Do you guys think that is something that you're even hoping for? Is that something that you think, yeah, that could totally happen? Or are you just like, you know what, let's not even worry about that?
What do you think, Rob?
You want me to take that? I picked them to go 14-2 in our preseason like poll.
Too negative.
I just, you know, like 14-2. Saints, Green Bay Packers, they'll have their first 2-game losers because Sean McVay's, you know, career or whatever. I'm just had to pick 2 because no one goes 16-0 unless, you know, you're the Dolphins. They didn't even go 16-0, right? They went 14.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I got to find a couple losses. I threw them out there. But as I'm watching this team, honestly, do I expect them losing a game? No. Would I be shocked if they did? No. So I don't think Nate Burleson's full of crap because I thought it myself. Like, this team legitimately could go 16-0. They've got that much talent, and I think we talked about this before. I just don't see the coaching staff, and I watched Sean McVay's presser again today. Someone asked him about, you know, the next 4 games coming up. You got these 4 quarterbacks. He's like, you know what, Gary? I think it's Gary Klein. We're worried about it. Aaron Rodgers. I'll deal with the other guys when it's their turn, but right now it's Aaron Rodgers, so that's who my focus is on. And I just don't think he's going to allow them to be looking down the road, and I think if they do, he'll run them back in. Do I see them going 16-0? No, I still don't see it, but I can't fault Nate for saying it, and he's not the reason why I don't like Good Morning Football. It's Kyle Brandt. That guy is just – he drives me nuts. He's a clown. He's a clown.
What's that?
I don't like him.
What is this you don't like about Kyle Brandt? I'm confused.
No, he's just a clown. Something about him annoys me. He tries for the funny laugh. He's not funny. He gets overly hyped. It seems very fake and forced. And there's nothing about the Kyle Brandt experience that I want to enjoy. He should go back to soaps. Get out. Go back to soaps. Go be the that guy. I turned on this morning.
You don't watch the Kyle Brandt Football Experience?
No. I put it on this morning as I woke up, and they're in London broadcasting, and he's wearing, like, you know, the Union Jack T-shirt with the jacket. I'm like, he's just hipster dork trying to be cool. Just go away. Want him.
He's just one of these guys that everything he does annoys you.
He's one of those guys that's like, all right, this guy rubbed me the wrong way. We couldn't.
Who's somebody
couldn't
like that for you, Joey? Somebody that just no matter what they do, they can't get right. Somebody that just annoys you at every turn.
Skip Bayless.
Oh, Skip, whoa, that's a good one. An easy one, but a good one.
I can't stand Skip Bayless. I think that guy. Yeah. Well, and I think when he was on the show with Michael A. Stephen A. Smith, it was just like the worst show in the world for me. I just felt like it was like blowhards, the TV show.
I don't think that Kyle Brandt is on his level. That guy takes the cake. Takes the cake for like unwatchable. Just Kyle just annoys me. Who's your guy, Joe?
I'll tell you my guy. I've got to tell you a fun fact first. Do you guys know what Skip Bayless eats every Monday?
Oh, I know he's a big workout guy, so probably like,
he's a big
like,
workout
like a
guy.
T-bone steak or something?
Nope. Every Monday, he orders chicken and broccoli from a local Manhattan Chinese restaurant. Every single Monday, he has chicken and broccoli. Do you know what he has every Tuesday?
Chicken and broccoli?
Chicken and broccoli from the exact same Chinese restaurant. Do you know what he has every Wednesday and Thursday?
You are
getting at what I'm getting at. Skip Bayless could be a serial killer because Skip Bayless eats the exact same dinner every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of his life. Weekends, he goes to the same Manhattan deli and gets 5 sandwiches. On Friday, he has date with his wife. But Monday through Thursday, he orders the same chicken and broccoli from the same restaurant and has done so for decades.
Yeah, he's the worst.
So you're saying Skip will not eat deep-fried squirrel brain?
So great. Also,
Skip Bayless does not ram it. I bet you. Never ram.
No, Skip Bayless has never rammed it. I'll give you the one that I hate, and it's not to be political or anything. It's Hugh Hewitt. I don't know if you know who Hugh Hewitt is.
Oh, yeah.
He's a conservative radio commentator. I hate him for two reasons. Number one, he can't smile. I'll link this picture when I write up the podcast. I don't trust people that don't know how to smile because that's one of those things you learn as a fucking baby. And so to be a grown adult, and he's like one of these people that has to like create this thing with his lips that looks the way human. It's almost like an alien. If you have an alien and you're like, prove that you're a human and smile. It's the kind of thing that an alien would do to be like, you're not a human. You don't know how to smile. Yeah. That's just weird. He does that. And then number two,
he's showing his teeth.
Does this thing. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's like stretching real hard and you can see his lip like working to try to make it right. And then the other thing he does is this weird pedantic thing that's political that I probably shouldn't get into because nobody wants to talk about that. That's the guy I hate. Defense. Is the defense back on track or is this just one of the benefits of talking about a really bad team? What do you guys think about the defense? So, like you said, some big challenges coming up with some good quarterbacks.
I'm going to go with they played a shitty team.
They did play a shitty team.
I'll take they played a shitty team for 200, Alex.
Nice. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging, and it's nice to see them play well. I want to see it again and again and again. But, it was definitely encouraging. I'm not going to say that they are back on track yet because they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. But if they do this against the Packers and they do it against the New Orleans Saints, yeah. They'll be back on track. So this is a nice first step.
We've got one here about the national media spending time on the Rams. Joey, I'm assuming this was you as well, because this is an interesting one.
Well, yeah. So, okay. So there is talk when you watch SportsCenter, and I know Robbo doesn't, but if you watch anything on the NFL Network, Fox Sports, or whatever the hell you watch in your land of Seattle, it feels like they talk about the New York Giants a lot and the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they're talking about the teams that they shouldn't be talking about, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, the Rams are good. But let's talk about Kansas City Chiefs. Let's talk about, you know, New England Patriots. And I just feel like right now they're kind of saying, like, okay, yeah, besides the Rams, they almost push them aside to talk about the other teams. And I feel one thing is because the games right now don't have that much intrigue to them. It's just like Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. That are you really going to sit there and go, well, the way they dismantled the Washington Generals tonight, it's like, well, no, they're just killing them. It's just what they do. But when you had that game with New England played Kansas City, it's like, well, that's a game that like Scott Van Pelt's going to sit there for 20 minutes and break down every highlight and if they're going to be talking about it for 3 days. We also haven't had a lot of primetime games right now that besides the Minnesota game, I felt like that was the one game that's like, okay, let's really talk about the Rams. But, you know, we lost a Sunday night football game because of the San Francisco 49ers, and we might get one in the next couple weeks. Who knows? But it just feels like I think it's because of the fan bases. I feel like there's more eyes on these other just bigger, huge fan bases, and that's what's going on these cable networks. That right now, since the Rams do have a smaller fan base, even though they're in this big market, it feels like they're almost treated like they play in like Jacksonville, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a mix of that and a lack of big highlights around. I think if there's more bombs to Brandon Cooks and huge runs by Todd Gurley, then yeah, I'm sure they'll get on the highlight reel a lot more. But I don't think like a 4-yard run by Todd Gurley is going to be something that people are going to be like, that's top 10 play. So,
no, you'd much rather see Patrick Mahomes running with his head cut off and then flinging some, you know, a 20-yard rope off his back foot in a small window for a touchdown. It's like, oh, that guy, that's fantastic. And it is, but it's not as sexy. A Todd Gurley 4-yard run is not as sexy as that. I had the same thought last night because I record NFL Network's NFL Primetime, and you're talking about people you probably should hate just by watching them speak. Shannon Sharpe and Deion Sanders are probably right at the top of the list.
Ooh, I love Shannon Sharpe. You don't like Shannon Sharpe?
But a lot of people just don't like him. So I'm like, all right, I get that people don't like it. But I usually record it because they do the whole, you know, if you ball, you get the call thing. I always like to see if like, and the Rams get any of that love. And I record it so I can just fly through it on my DVR and delete it if there's nothing interesting. And it took until about 40 minutes before they even mentioned the Rams yesterday. The only undefeated team in the league, they played the 49ers, but they went through a lot of slappies to get there. And I'm like, really? You're going to finally acknowledge that there's a 7-0 team in the league? You had a dominant performance by the best player in football. I just didn't get it. So, they talked up the Chiefs. They talked up everyone else. You know, the Panthers and the Eagles, who are combined, don't have as many wins as the Rams. Sure. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's where we're at. It's where they're at. A lot of it leads into, I think you just nailed it, Joey, the lack of primetime games. The Chiefs have been on the primetime the last couple of weeks. They've had, they're exciting because their defense is garbage, so they're always in exciting, close, high-scoring games. I think that lends to it. Mahomes is great, but you could also flip it over and say their defense is flat-out terrible. I think I've seen jokes out there, people talking about the Rams-Kansas City game is going to be 51-48, and they're not sure who's going to have what number. But you could also, we should have had, if Jimmy G was not hurt and they didn't have their whole team decimated, that we would have had a primetime game yesterday. They flexed it. I would like to have seen them. We'd like to see them flex the Rams in New Orleans from Sunday to Monday and get rid of Tennessee-Dallas on Monday Night Football. I don't think anyone on the planet wants to watch that, even if Amari Cooper is going to be playing.
Even next week, the Patriots against the Bills.
Ugh. Right, it's like, blah, whatever.
That's going to be juicy.
No one wants to see that. Green Bay.
Well, I do. You're right that nobody else does. I absolutely want to see it.
You will. How about this Monday night game? New York at San Francisco, November 12th.
Ooh.
Who wants to watch that? Who wants to see the Giants?
Joseph H. McAtee.
Giants at 49ers. When you can have Dallas or Seattle at the Rams. Flip that one.
Hey, Joe, is your middle name Herbert? And were you named after Justin Herbert?
So sadly, no. I've got one of these weird Louisiana middle names that was passed down to me from long, long ago, from generations beyond. Yeah, I mean, Joey nailed it. It's just about the fan base. We don't have a big fan base. And that's, you know, mainly the result of losing for 15 years. And that's what happens versus, you know, teams like the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Eagles that have, you know, been in the playoffs frequently and win a lot and have history there. We've got great history, but you're talking about a greatest show on turf era that was sandwiched in between two really long sustained eras of pretty crappy football. And that just means there's, our church isn't as big as other churches, and that's okay. It doesn't mean our religion's any worse. It just means there's not as many of us packing the pews on Sundays. That's all.
Yeah. The Ringer gives the Rams a lot of love. I don't know if you guys listen to Bill Simmons' podcast, but they were just talking today how, you know, he has does his, like, they guesses the lines with Cousin Sal, and he does the parlay with the Rams every week. And so he's always just going to keep betting on the Rams. And then, you know, all the Robert Mays and those guys are always writing about the Rams. I feel like they're one of those kind of outlets. And I don't know how many people read the Ringer. I just like that site. I go on it every day. But I feel like they give the Rams a lot of love.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, there's a lot to like on that team, right? So it's coming around, just like the greatest show on turf. They came out of nowhere and they won, and they, you know, everyone talked about them then, and then they went away. If this continues, they'll start getting more and more attention. It's not like they never talk about the Rams. It's just they talk about some other teams more often.
Yeah, but we're the greatest show on surf, Robbo.
Jesus.
Yeah, bro.
Am I just trying to make a catch happen?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I like to think about, and that I told a lot of people before, is think about how many Rams fans now became Rams fans during the greatest show on turf, right? There's a ton. And if you go on Twitter and you talk to people, there's a ton of people that's when they became Rams fans. So it's going to take a while to grow the brand that is based on success, and you're going to get some fair weather fans who I'm no longer a blank fan just because the Rams are winning, and they'll be gone. And whenever we suck again, it'll happen, but you're going to create, and especially if we can, you know, extend this window 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you're going to create lifelong fans that are going to build a new church. That'll be much bigger. And we'll all be there on Sundays. I need to quit this church analogy because Jesus hates me for it. On to the next one. How are we feeling about Green Bay? We're going to do a Green Bay preview. I'm on the Acme Packing Company podcast tomorrow night talking to them about stuff. What do we think about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers? What do you guys think?
I think their quarterback's really good.
He's good at football.
I think their defense is not.
They're not great.
They're not great. I've got a really close friend.
That's what makes – that's a fun setup,
yep.
Right?
Yep. I've got a really close friend who is a Green Bay Packers fan, and I sent him a message saying, hey, want to get together and watch the game this weekend? And he's like, no, I would rather go shopping with my wife than watch you guys kick my ass for 3 hours, so I'm out. And he's from Milwaukee. He's out. He's not going to want to watch it.
He's mentioning odds from the Ringer show. One note, this is the biggest underdog by the odds of Aaron Rodgers' career. The line got set at 8.5 points in favor of the Rams. It's the biggest line in favor of an opponent for Aaron Rodgers in his career.
Yeah, and I think they're adjusting the lines because the Rams are beating the spread, or, you know, they're beating teams so much. So they're trying to figure out how not to lose money on the Rams. But I think Green Bay is just a sneaky team. It's hard to take them for granted a lot of the time. And yeah, their defense is bad, but they still figure out ways to win games. So I'm not as confident as I was going into the past couple games. I think I was a little bit concerned going into Minnesota's games. I feel like I have the same amount of concern going into this Green Bay game because I just don't like playing against Aaron Rodgers. I do like the fact that we're playing at home. I wouldn't want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Have you guys been to Green Bay, by the way?
No.
I've never been to Green Bay. I've been to Milwaukee, but not out to Green Bay.
I'll tell you a short little story. I worked for casting for Big Brother 2, and we had to do like semi-final interviews with people. So if you like send in your tape to be on the show, then CBS would kind of send out the casting people to go interview you to see like in person. So you'd go to the CBS affiliate, the closest place you were. So I had two areas. I had Chicago and Green Bay. So I went to Chicago for a couple of days, all these crazy people. And then we flew to Green Bay, just a small little plane from Chicago. And we get in and it's just, you know, when you go to an airport and they have like flags, we make America flags. And it'll be like, you know, if you're like in California, it'll be like, you know, the California flag or whatever. They had Packer flags hanging in the airport, like from the rafters. They had the cheese flags. I'm like, okay, cool. This is fun. So we get in the cab and it's like this, you know, this like just big fat white guy named Larry. And he's like, hey, you know, it was just delicious accent. And I was like, oh, are you, you know, I'm like 22. I'm like, are you a Packer fan? And he's like, oh, he's like, I've been on the waiting list since I was a baby. 48 years old. And I haven't got my ticket yet.
They've got that issue with the whole
waiting for some guy to die. Yeah. And he gave us just a free tour. Like, he just was like, oh, let me drive you around the town. And because it's like a paper mill town. And, you know, we went, he's like, this is Mike Holmgren way. And I was like, he doesn't coach the Packers anymore. And he has his own highway. Like, can you imagine? Like, that they just are giving out, like, streets and
Chuck Knox way. Libraries. John Robinson Street.
I was going to say, is Sean McVay going to get a highway? He's going to get a freeway in LA named for him eventually, right?
He's going to get a toll road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, take the 101 to the McVay. Oh, avoid the McVay today. It's a murder out there.
It's definitely the McVay, not McVay Highway.
They should just name the carpool lane the McVay. Like, take the, you know, use the passing lane and the McVay. Use.
Yep.
Two or more, you know, people that use the McVay.
Oh, I'm going down to the Placenta Parade. I got to take the McVay, man. Oh, dude, sucks.
All right.
Don't take Metro.
The Packers' second leading receiver is this year?
The Packers' second leading receiver. I'm Devontae. Yeah. I'm totally. I don't know.
Devontae Adams is number one at 557 yards, six touchdowns. Number two, Jimmy Graham. And what have the Rams struggled
Jimmy
with
G.
this year?
Oh, there you go. That could be a thing.
End. So, you know, that's something to watch. I just have a hard time writing off Aaron Rodgers anytime. I don't care how terrible his defense is. That guy is freaking great. That guy is freaking great. If you haven't seen Sean McVay's presser from today, he went on this huge Aaron Rodgers, you know, love fest for about 45 seconds. He just started doing the, you know, I remember this play and this play. He's like, you know, we had a Sam Blitz and they had a fire zone dog. And he's just talking about it. And he just puts his back shoulder on, fingertip. And he just starts going and going and going. And he like reeled himself back in. I have to think long and hard about what I think this game is going to be. I picked him to lose this game in the preseason. And I'm not sure I'm going to change my vote. I might not change it. I hope I'm wrong. But right now, we'll see.
Coming out of the bye
week.
How many
Packer fans are going to be in that stadium? We saw the Eagle fans fill it up. We saw the Vikings fans fill it up. How many Packer fans will be there, Joey? Will there be a couple?
You know, I don't think – I know they have a national fan base, but I don't see a lot of – I don't see a lot of Packer fans. We used to have this place called Big Wings in Hollywood, and you'd go and they would have all the different – Big Wings. And everybody would be in their jersey. So obviously you had – all the, you know, the Eagles peoples and the Giants and the Redskins, you know, everybody kind of had that. But you don't have a lot of people that are coming from Wisconsin to, like, move to L.A. as much as you do. Like, everyone's from, like, Ohio
other or places.
Pennsylvania. So, but the great thing about Big Wings is by halftime of the first game, there would always, you could just, like clockwork, there would be a bunch of Philly fans fighting each other drunk in the parking lot. Usually it's like some girl like in an Eagles jersey, like crying and be like, you know, don't test me. Don't test me. I'll punch him in the face. And you're like, man, I love the parking lot of Big Wings. It's the best.
Big Wings. It's where I met my wife. I will say this. I think what you get with, and this is a great example for other cities that are looking to get the NFL and kind of the NFL experience is a lot of those Eagles fans and Packers fans in LA aren't necessarily people that moved to LA from Philadelphia or Wisconsin or anything. They just picked up that team for whatever reason. I'll give you an example. The playoff game last year, after I saw you guys, sat fifth row next to a Packers fan who was quite clearly not from Wisconsin, young Hispanic man who was from LA. We talked quite a bit. Became a Packers fan. Why? Just because they were good. And that's what the Rams are going to pick up. We're going to pick up guys like that. Those are the kind of Packers fans that will be there. Going to be a fun game. We got a lot of preview to do.
How does a young man from Croatia who lives in Hamilton, Ontario, become a Rams fan?
The story of his life.
Because they were good. And, you know, it's a great show on turf. You're right. We will start getting those fans, but we won't know about it for her until they become legal in 10 years.
It's going to be
amazing. I get mad at Sosa because he doesn't know who Tom Petty is, and he doesn't take that as an insult because he doesn't know who Tom Petty is. And so it's just this kind of circle that we're in.
Tell him Tom Petty is an East Coast rapper from the 80s and have him research it. He'll be all over it.
He'd love him.
Yeah. I love it.
Speaking of young people that don't know anything, college. We had a fun week in college football. Did you guys watch any? Joey, you're a college football fan, an aficionado, an expert, a lover of all things CFB. Anything this weekend that piqued your interest?
Well, you know what? I watched my boy, Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. What happened
to
Justin?
Not his greatest game.
What happened to
Justin? I think have you guys ever heard of the small school Washington State?
He got palooed.
Well, hey.
Yeah, but you know what? I still feel like, put it down on paper right now, Joe and Robbo, the number one draft pick in the 2019 NFL draft.
Could be.
It's going to, well, it matters if it's Arizona. I don't think they're going to pick him, but what's the other garbage team?
Buffalo.
The Bills? They're not going to pick him either.
I don't know. Other than the Giants.
But you might also get what happened with the Rams trading up to number one overall. You might get Arizona could hold the number one pick and trade it down to number three, number five, something like that for somebody who needs a quarterback.
And there's not that many teams that need a quarterback right now.
And there's not going to be that many great quarterbacks in this draft.
Oakland, after they trade Derek Carr, they will take him.
Yeah. I could see the New York Giants trading up for Justin Herbert. Anyways. So yeah, I watched that game. But that Washington State, that was a big Pac-12 North battle.
It was a good one. Well, what was interesting was Oregon almost came all the way back. For people who didn't see it, it was 27-0 at halftime, Wazoo, and then Oregon nearly mounted the comeback. They were down a touchdown late in the game, but Washington State got another touchdown. Desmond Patman able to put it away. Good game. Robbo, you watch any college football this weekend?
I watched the greatest college football team known to man win their second game in a row.
I did watch some of that game. It was a little sloppy for my team.
I mean, it's a lot sloppy, but the W is a W. I'm not going to say anything other than all we got to do is win the next six or seven, and we got a shot because right now they're tied in the loss column with the Pac-12 South. With two, everyone sucks in the South. All the good teams are in the North, and we got a shot to go to the playoff.
You're talking about Washington, right?
Oh my man, UCLA Bruins! Come on,
UCLA over
the greatest Pac-12 South team going. They got Utah this week. When they stick it in Utah's back, then they got who else? They got USC in the schedule. They got Stanford in the schedule. They got to make some noise. Chip has got the boys rolling. 31-30 in Arizona. Big win. Go Bruins.
Joe, can I ask you a question? Am I silly for thinking this question? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I think Notre Dame could win the national championship beating Alabama.
You're not wrong.
No.
You're not wrong.
They're very good. As long as
it's
not Michigan.
Any Notre Dame football this year?
I grew up watching all of them, and I think I admire their sort of their mystique. So there's something kind of fun about rooting for them. But
touchdown, Jesus.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys see any of the glory that was Purdue sticking it to Ohio State?
I saw some of the second half. I did.
Yeah, after I saw the score, I turned it on and just reveled in it just because I wanted to make fun of Eli.
Well,
poor
Eli. What was wild, I don't know if you guys watched any. Did you guys watch any of the game?
Yeah, I watched the end of it.
You know, I turned it on somewhat early because I was getting home. It just didn't make sense. It was, if you want to talk about red zone problems, Ohio State had way bigger red zone problems because they couldn't run the ball. They threw the ball 73 times. Dwayne Haskins, who's a phenomenal quarterback. We're talking about
49 of 73 for 470. Yeah.
73, dude. He's really good. Dwayne Haskins, really good. They just couldn't run the ball, and so they were racking up all these yards and getting into the red zone and couldn't finish anything. They even went for it on fourth down because they couldn't punch it in, and it just wasn't happening. And Purdue was finding a way, surprisingly, because Ohio State doesn't have a bad defense at all, but it was the recipe for an upset, kind of what a lot of people expected to happen when Notre Dame played Pitt a weekend before last. And it just didn't happen. It was a really interesting game, though. Not a very close game and no upset trap for Clemson, who absolutely dominated North Carolina State. That's Brandon Bates' boy, Lionel Trevor Lawrence, quarterback in Clemson. They move up to number two. We got a good game coming in 2 weeks with LSU playing Alabama. LSU was able to hold off Mississippi State, held them to 3 points, 19-3. Oh, those SEC scores. They warm my cockles. The game of the week, though. Robbo, we talked about it.
We talked about the good, the gentleman.
The good gentlemen of Michigan, Michigan State were not very gentlemanly.
Yeah. Good sir.
Did you see some of the not necessarily fisticuffs, but the lack of decorum.
Disrespect from the good Michigan man.
What? Well, how dare this young man scuffle Sparty's logo at midfield? Yeah, Michigan State said they
would be walking out at
10 o'clock.
Contest.
They came out of the tunnel at 10:02, I dare say, does Michigan State not know how to tell time?
I did not watch any of the game, but I did see the disrespect that was the slap down before the game. Scuffing Sparty, just digging him up. I was expecting
Devin Bush.
It reminded me of like T.O. and the Star. Bush. Right? Someone should have come out and dropped him.
And a legitimate prospect for the Rams for people who haven't seen Devin Bush. He's a bit of a hybrid kind of linebacker, maybe somewhat of a Mark Barron type that you could mold into safety linebacker type. Joey, I don't know if you saw it before the game. What happened was Michigan State has this tradition where they lock arms and walk across the field. Well, there were Michigan players that were already warming up because it was past the time that Michigan State said they were going to do it. They came out and did it anyway and just kind of – what's the right way to put it? They kind of walked through those guys and pushed
around them.
It was like a Red Rover come over kind of thing. And then Devin Bush, the linebacker I was talking about, went over and just kind of scuffed his shoes on the Spartan logo at midfield. It was a rivalry game that felt like a rivalry before it started, and good on them. I know we talked about the idea of Michigan man, but it turned into something a little more volatile, and I thought that made it a lot more entertaining.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, it's hard not to like. We'll get into some more stuff. I'm going to put some draft stuff on the site this week. It's been a little bit. I got to do a big board. I got to do a mock draft. We're talking about the Rams, obviously, at the end. Somewhere at the end, if we're talking playoffs, the earliest that we're going to be drafting is 24.
Playoffs?
Remember, the Rams don't have a second-round pick. So, again, you're talking about one pick in the first nine or so. You're not going to have a time. And that's, as things stand right now, the Rams could trade that pick for some other player, as we've been wont to do for the last couple of years. We'll have to see. But as it stands,
but we're
going to
have like 87 compensatory picks in the third round.
Going to have some comp picks for losing Sammy Watkins, for losing there's somebody else. Trumaine Johnson for the Jets is going to get us probably another third rounder. So we're going to have some more picks at the end of the third. We're going to have a lot of draft content to go over. And as things start to settle from the college show, I don't want to get into the preview side. We can do that on the next pod. But things are looking fun, man. I got to put up some lists of guys so we can talk about some guys besides. And don't get me wrong, love Justin Herbert. But there's a lot of other guys in college football that I'm getting interested in. And they're starting to warm my cockles. That's going to be my saying for the day, is my cockles are getting warmed. I don't know what else.
I love it.
How else to put it? Especially when we talk about Green Bay. And how do you warm cockles in Green Bay? What is it? You live the furthest north, and you've got the most experience for this kind of stuff, Robbo. How do you warm cockles in that kind of an environment?
what you do is you run down to the Fred Meyer, which is it's like a super Walmart or a Target, super Target. You kind of they sell everything there. You run yourself down to the Fred Meyer, and you head back to the sporting goods department. And you get yourself some little hand warmers. You crack those bad boys open, and you jam them into your cockles, and everything stays
and just
nice
a big bowl of cheese curds.
You just warm them cockles with them hand warmers, and you're ready to go for 4 to 6 hours. Cockles warmed.
We're going to need them warmed. Not too many cockle-warming games. We do have Chicago late in the season, but other than that, I don't think we're going to need too much cockle-warming.
Yeah, no cockle-warming at Arizona, San Francisco. Yeah. No cockle warming needed.
Joey, you don't need to warm your cockles. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for joining.
Well, thanks, Cass.
Robo. Good to talk
yes,
to
sir.
You. Jerks. We're out of here.
Bye. Thank you. Good guys. Come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back. This limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special team. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead. I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'm a real person. I like to eat food.